Hell has many forms. One is filled with hot people and fun gameplay. The other is just plain Gravity Rush. Welcome to The Road to Greatness, our Patreon-exclusive show where we deep dive in a game voted on by you, our community. I'm your host, Kyle Stevenson, a.k.a. Mr. K-Sep, and as always, I'm joined on this never-ending road trip called life with Joseph Moran, a.k.a. Mr. Badbit. Today's destination is twofold. It's Gravity Rush Remastered and Super Giants Hades. The reason we are combining both of these is because this is on me. 100% on me. It took me way too long to play Gravity Rush because of work. I was too tired to play it. So apologies for being late, and apologies that you're getting a two-for-one episode right here. But Joe, how you doing today, my friend?
You don't need to apologize whatsoever. Because
I feel like I have to.
The real culprit's Jiminy, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
The fight continues, and you know, Jiminy interrupted last, we recorded a Gravity Rush Road to Greatness. That's a lost episode because Jiminy decided it was gonna come on in.
He had a platform and he wanted it to be known by everybody.
Exactly.
You know?
So what we're doing here is we're re-recording our Gravity Rush segment, and because we don't have a lot of kind things to say about Gravity Rush, which we'll get into it, and if you like it, don't worry.
Yep.
We're not gonna bash it too much.
What you love.
We're also going to come in and talk about Hades. And you know what? Honestly, instantaneously, Kyle, glad we did, because you're the master of intros on the show.
Thank you.
That was trying fantastic. To figure,
because I really loved the one from the lost episode, which no one will ever know. But I was like, how can I combine the two? And like, it was just right there. So yeah. I had to take it. So let's get into the first one that was voted on for the month of July, I believe it was.
Yep.
Gravity Rush Remastered, or Gravity Rush in general, was the game. Up for a lot of debate in our community because one, Joe rigged the vote. Ooh. He told people to vote for this game. And here we are about to talk about it. And do you give back my 18 hours of playing? Do I get that time back?
Did you get a platinum, Kyle?
I did.
So was it worth it? You got a platinum?
No, it wasn't.
That's how much you didn't like this game.
Yeah. So spoilers, I didn't enjoy this game really, like, at all.
Oh, wow.
But before we get into it, Gravity Rush was released on Vita in 2012, PS4, the remastered version in 2015. The Metacritic scores on Vita is an 83, or sits at an 83, and PS4 sits at an 80.
Yeah.
So looking at that, you're like, you know what? Solid games.
Yeah.
Solid. Yes. I don't know what game they played. I really have no idea. The story's all over the place.
Yes.
I'm not particularly a fan of Cat. There's just not a lot of there for Cat for me to like grab onto. And when it comes to like the gameplay and stuff, it's so generic and at times very cumbersome. Mm. So those are my main issues with it.
I follow the similar thread. I think Cat is a decent character. If she was in a different game.
Sure.
I feel like she's very out of place here. Maybe that's on point because she is
technically,
but like everyone around her, all the characters, like besides for Kat, there's not a character that I can actually name that is integral to the story for me that I'm rooting for. You know, there are so many characters that if it's not Dusty, Cat, or Raven, I've already forgotten who they are because a lot of these characters are just so generic, one note. This is typical like anime stylings where it's not trying to break any tropes. It just goes with every single trope that Japanese developed games often have associated with them when it comes to that Western lens. So for me, I'm right there with like in the story as well. It's like it's two stories rolled into one, and none of them are, one of them could be compelling. The other one is just very throwaway.
Yeah. And my big issue with the whole story is how it's told, right? So this game, I believe, has 22 episodes is what the story consists of.
Yeah.
Might be 21. Don't come at me. It's fine. but in between every episode acts as like, I'm guessing what an anime of this game would be.
Yeah.
And in between those episodes, is where like all the character bonding happens off the screen.
Yeah.
Like we just get a big text bubble at the end of like, oh, and Kat is now getting more comfortable in her spot in the town and she's working for a ton of people and getting money and, you know, her and Sid are hanging out or whatever. And like, we see none of that. So next time we see them on screen, she's like, oh man, what a tough day at work or something like that. Yeah. That she definitely did not say that, but along those same kind of lines, we didn't get to experience that. So I have zero empathy. I have zero connection to her and what she's going through. Everything is just, it's very comic booky in a way, but nothing is connecting.
That's a great point. It is very, because the game is being told through like comic book or manga panels. And so like the problem here with this story is you're out and about, you're playing each level. Each level is pretty small because again, this is at first a handheld Vita game. And then afterwards you're collecting orbs around the city and that gives you power-ups. Spoiler alert, when we get to the combat, none of those power-ups really do much for you. But then you'll go into like mission two and there's a time jump or like an allusion to a time jump where, yeah, relationships with other characters seemingly happened while you were collecting orbs. Like, yeah, like Kat somehow got a job. Yeah. Sid, who's like a police officer, then turned Royal Guard, who's supposed to be the wacky, I think, comedic character. Mm-hmm. Like,
I think there's the a standout one
they with yeah. them that grows think- off screen and not on screen. It's strange.
Well, one of the characters that jumps out to me is like, why are they even there? Is the fortune teller. Mm. The fortune teller tells you like, oh, you're about to meet destiny very soon or something like that. And blah, blah, blah. And then that character's gone.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the game, you show the fortune teller again. I'm like, well, why? they were in the game for like 30 seconds tops. Yeah. And like, I didn't pay too much attention to the story because I really was just so out of it. Mm-hmm. The one part that I really dig, though, was at some point in the game, you fall down the world pillar and you go to a spot like beyond all the gravity storms and whatnot. And there's a group of kids that fell in their bus off the side of the world or something. And that's where they're living. Think like Hook or Lord of the Flies, where they're fending for themselves. And that was the only part of the story that I felt compelling with Kat and the kids.
Yeah.
And it was very, very short. And then after that, it was just a whole lot of, all right, let me go beat these same Nevi enemies over and over again. Not to mention the Nevi with the big voluptuous butt that just lays on the ground and you have to knock out in the crotch to kill him.
Yeah. This game's also weirdly sexual.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there are some Nevi that are, like they're ones that burrow underground and then they flop on top of you and they're kind of, what did you say in the Lost episode?
They're like, he laying there like Burt Reynolds.
Yeah. Or they're like, paint me like one of your French girls.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you have to literally kick them in the crotch. That's where the orb is. And then there's one where it's just like a and pair literally of legs.
Kick. That's all you do is kick, by the way, in the combat. That's it. There's no combos. Mm-mm. Like you can like float in the air and dive kick, which is kind of like the go-to. And then you have one super move that is useful and the other two just don't even bother with it.
Yeah. It's this game's really frustrating because on a story standpoint, it is kind of three acts. It's not two separate stories. It's three. Like the first act, you're chasing down a bandit named Alias.
Alias, yeah.
Who is kind of like a terrorist in a way as well, who maybe is using these Navi to cause chaos around town. Then you find out that, you know, you meet the creator of your world. And there's multiple worlds in Gravity Rush, but they're all layered on top of each other. So you're literally fell from one world to another world, essentially is what it is. The creator doesn't serve a purpose other than he created the world. Like, mm-hmm. he can't interfere with anything. And it's not necessarily because he can't. It's because every time you go up to him, like, hey, why can't you help out here? You're just sitting on the sideline. It's just like, well, the story told me I can't. It's like, yeah. What? Well, that's convenient. Uh-huh. And then, yeah, next you fall down the world again and you meet these lost kids, which that story is actually super compelling of trying to get them back up there to their world.
And you're there for like three episodes, I think, two or three.
And which is like more like a year because time moves differently. And then the third act, you have the mayor that goes into disappearance and this military coup somehow happens where the police are now turned into this royal guard. It's very fascist. It's literally on the head. They're Nazis from the uniforms to one of Kat's uniforms that I noticed, which is that you could wear. It is literally her in the army garb. And then she has a red band, like a Wehrmacht Nazi band. But instead it has a fist as a black icon, white circle, and a red band. So, like, it's so on the nose. And that's the thing I think is Gravity Rush, a lot of the time, story-wise, is just it's so on the nose. It doesn't really want you to think about what's going on. It just wants you to do what's on the screen. And
yeah.
Cat.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And I think the thing that the gimmick of this whole game is its gravity mechanics. Mm-hmm. And where you can manipulate the game world by hitting, I played on my PS5 through backwards compatibility. So R1 would be the floating in the air, you jump up and then you can look with the camera and press it again and you can just rocket forward in any direction. L1 is like, you can just drop and whatnot. You have gravity sliding, which I think is the best gravity move in the whole game, where you're basically like surfing and skateboarding on the ground using gravity. Wish there was more of that in the game because when it works, it's really, really cool. But like the gravity thing, it's weird to even say this or think this, right? The game's called Gravity Rush, right? Too much gravity is going on. I'm manipulating the gravity every second. And my other big thing of it is I was never pressed. If I saw that gauge going down, I was not worried, but it came because it came back so quickly.
Right.
That I could just pop right into it and then shoot back and fix itself. There's really no, I didn't have one game over screen this entire time.
I think I had one where, so there's another gravity user. Her name's Raven.
During that fall sequence, there was maybe
one. And I'm in love with Raven. That's a fact. thick thighs save lives. Raven, call me. I don't know. We could set up something. her fights are, first off, this game's super easy to cheese. So if you're just flying around collecting orbs, which I like to do, just turn on a podcast, collect orbs, which is like literally the funnest part of this game is when I'm not doing any combat, I'm just flying and playing with gravity that way is great. But I got some orbs. I powered up my character or Cat, and the first boss fight with Raven, I literally beat her in 10 seconds because I just put on the dive kick, and I think I had her health down to half. Yeah. I had her health down to half in less than 10 seconds. Then I charged up my combo again and just, she was done. It was cheese central. But the second time I fought her, you're falling down this never ending gap. And the thing that is so aggravating in this game is the dodge mechanic that they sometimes want you to use, which if you have a good dodge in a game, you know me. If you're a From Software fan like me, dodges are important. This dodge is a weird lag behind it. So you'll press circle to dodge, but it's not instantaneous. There's like a second delay to it. So I always feel like it's absolutely useless. In that boss fight, the dodge is integral to get to the bottom of the core. And the thing that's so annoying is because the dodge just sucks, I'm getting hit constantly. So that was the one time I got my game over.
It's the laggy dodge in addition to not seeing how far the projectiles are from you.
Yeah.
Because God forbid you use the camera to look around you because then it gets wonky and you lose all sort of direction. And especially like going back to the gravity sliding thing, this is where I found the most camera stuff. Mm-hmm. Like during some of the challenges where you have like a race around the city and there were specific gravity sliding ones, they would have you go down this small alleyway and there's not enough room and the whole screen shakes.
Yeah.
because it's just bugging out because the camera has nowhere to go and nowhere to move. And it is so buggy. It doesn't feel buggy, maybe not the right word, but it just, you're constantly fighting with the camera.
Yes.
And it hurt my brain every single second.
Well, that's the thing. The combat in this game is when it's at its best, it's really, it's cheese central. You're doing is going up in the air, using stasis when you're in the air to remain, you know, centered, and then just dive kicking.
Yep.
And that's it. It's just pressing square. And it's not like a mash the square button. It's just press the square, back in the air, press the square, back in the air, press the square. Okay, they're done.
And sometimes it auto locks and sometimes it locks on and then you go right past the
spot. Oh my God. That's any enemy that had like an orb at their back, because that's how all the enemies have these weak points, are very in your face. Can't miss them until you do. You'll have a lock on and you'll do a dive kick with some of the orbs that are in the back and you'll just go straight forward. It's super annoying. It's super finicky. And yeah, at worst, Kyle, that motion control is awful on the PlayStation 4 version. It was not fun to aim whatsoever, and it just shook the camera constantly. And maybe that's because I got old man hands, but honestly, this game did not age the way I wanted it to.
Yeah. So getting into our first question from Hiding Doors, what were your thoughts of this game before you played it? And were they proven right or wrong after we were done?
I've proven that I don't like this game, Kyle.
Yeah. And you were the one that would champion for it.
Yes. Like, because on Vita, I loved it. And I think, you know, on Vita, I think there was different expectations for this game at that time. Mm-hmm. And now that we've seen games progress, and not just open world, but how they use gravity, right? Or how they play with physics, this game is very much a relic. So because there's been so many games that have done significantly better than this game over the time, or improved upon over the time, this game did not age well to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Famous Seamus also asks, do you think the game would be better if its focus is the gravity mechanic on puzzles rather than on the combat? And we said this in the last episode, 100,000% yes.
100,000%.
If there were more puzzle things with you having to figure out how to manipulate and land on the right side of these cubes, and kind of like an M.C. Escher puzzle kind of thing, I feel like it would have worked so much better. And we got a glimpse of that with the Dream Guardian, the other creator down in the kids' world.
Yeah.
Cyanea, I think. They never said the name because I was in another language. I don't even think it was Japanese, honestly.
Yeah.
But there's a dungeon, a dreamscape thing, or rift is what they call them in the game, a rift where you do have to like manipulate gravity to get to her every single time, and there's no combat or anything. I enjoyed that.
Those parts are great when it's like, hey, let's do some weird platforming, let's get you to think differently. Those parts are legitimately the best parts of the game. When it's then back to the like, hey, let's, you know, fly around and defeat Navi, is where the game falters.
I'm gonna ask you, Joe. Okay. If you could add one thing to this game to make it better.
Sure.
What would it be?
Less creepiness. Guys, okay, listen.
Sure.
I feel like I hit on this way too much on the Lost episode, so I'm glad that I can make this back here and say it like with words.
Yeah.
This game, I get it, made in a different time, made in a different culture. I totally understand that. And times have changed. Not every story, there's going to be some problematic things here or there, right? All right. I'm not the sensitive guy. You could put a pretty girl on screen, have her be pretty, have her kick ass, and I'm going to be like, hell yes, congratulations. This is cool to me, right? Kick me in the back of the throat, Leo Scarjo.
That's the Hades talk.
Let's get the little thirst out of the way here. Megra, oh my God.
Oh boy.
Oh, but goodness gracious. Turn me into a pretzel, why don't you? But here, they just... Okay, for example, the creator, how you enter his world, he has an overcoat, and he flashes you like a flasher, okay? And then you reach in, and the way it seems like she's reaching in, it's like reaching for waist below. There are scenes where she is absolutely nude sleeping, which, hey, no shame on anybody who sleeps in the nude, right? If you want to Donald Duck it as well, that's fair by me as well. It's your house, your rules.
Yeah.
But I found this out. There's something in manga anime called fan service. And I thought fan service, like in mainstream, is like, you know, spoiler alert, in Endgame, Cap lifting the hammer. And you're that's the ultimate fan service, something that's alluded to and you're rewarded for it. Fan service, it seems like, in the sleazy side is, hey, we've given you this person that's very attractive on screen, and we're going to make them barely clothed or lewd that they're nude so that you could get your rocks off. It's something that apparently happens a lot in just Japanese developed games or stories, because sexualization is different over there. And again, I get it, not judging the culture, but for me, it's a little weird. And so there's a scene in this game where Kat's sleeping in the nude, and you see the outline of her naked body, whatever, if that's getting your rocks off, fine. And you see some cleavage as well. Nothing inappropriate, but like, we're getting there. And then Sid comes in, and Sid goes, oh my goodness, you're a little nude. And she's like, yes, like inner monologue. Yes, it's a nice guy, whatever. He's okay. He's one of the good ones. And then Sid's like, oh, you know, maybe you should put on some clothes. And Sid, at least from what I took from it, rips the towel off of her. Sid does that.
I don't remember.
Okay. Whatever it is, that was a problem for me. Because I was like, like now we've gotten into, I'm completely uncomfortable. This scene got me so uncomfortable, Kyle, I looked it up. Not just for Rule 34, but on Reddit, on the Gravity Rush Reddit. And apparently at this time, and still now, there is a debate whether that scene was appropriate or not. Even in 2012, people were like, okay, did that need to be there? It didn't. So there are just some things that are a little bit too overtly sexual that kind of it was off-putting to me. You could have, you know, sexy people fighting things like 2B from Nier. She's a very attractive robot, but she's also kicking so much ass. There's a lot of backstory to her that feels fulfilled. And so you could kind of go, you know what? I get that she's eye candy, but there's something there, at least in the backdrop. Her story is at least compelling. Kat's story isn't compelling. She's not a great character. She's very one note. She's very forgettable. And they often put her in scenes or in costumes that are just like, hey, we know what you're thinking. And it's like, I know what you know what I'm thinking, but you don't have to be, again, Rule 34 exists, so just tell me a good story.
Yeah. You know?
And that's the thing that frustrated me.
Long I think where we land on it, and I can try my best to recapture what we said last night.
Sure.
When I think of other video game characters that are seen like that, I think of Tifa, like in Final Fantasy VII. Yeah. And I think of Aerith, and I think of a lot of Final Fantasy characters, to be honest. But the difference with them is there is something to hold on to character-wise. Their actions, their personality, their everything that they've go through, and as we experience through that is what I attach to. Cool. And that's why I like those characters and think they're awesome. Kat has none of that.
Yeah.
Really. There is no time for us to spend, see them at their highs, see them at their lows, see them grow from mistakes, see them interact with these characters over and over again. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very much just by herself. She's talking to this cat who I don't know why we needed every single dialogue of the cat to go meow every single time. It was a lot. but yeah, it's not great.
Yeah.
But to answer the question I asked you.
Oh, sorry.
It's going to be pale in comparison to that, because, yeah, I agree on the creepiness. Give me an actual combat combo system.
Yes.
Add some combos in there. Have Kat do other things than just kick. Mm-hmm. And it's like a soccer kick, too.
Yeah.
It's like you're like a goalie trying to kick it out of the box on the field. I know football.
Yeah. I watched Ted Lasso, too. Are you kidding me?
So, like, if there was an actual combo system, and by me upgrading certain moves unlocked, like, a light heavy attack, square triangle, in addition to the dodge, I think that would have made such a better use of those combat scenarios and a little less on the enemies designs and repurposing them.
Okay.
A lot of the same enemies over and over and over again. And just take it. Just relax. Gravity Rush.
Relax.
Hey. Give us a little bit more of you know, diversity of like who we're beating up, you know? But yeah, I think that's Gravity Rush. I think we've exhausted our thoughts on it.
Yes.
I
apologize.
Same, but it's a bad game. No, I'm kidding. If you love this game, truly love this game, don't let our words take away from your experience. If we were to give it on the trophy scale, bronze, silver, gold, or platinum trophy in terms of like a recommendation, platinum being the best, go buy it immediately. Bronze, don't touch it or like wait for like a super sale. If I had to, it'd be a bronze. If I could leave it like on a 0% on the trophy on my profile, I would leave it there.
Oh, wow.
Because, yes, I got the platinum. I did it. It's not that hard.
No.
But there's literally, like, nothing memorable that I can think I'd take out of this game.
Yep. Other than, like, I get it. Cat's attractive.
Yeah.
That's it.
Maybe the hint at what the sequel is going to be, but, like, I don't know.
It does make me think, well, maybe I want to go to
See if Gravity they fixed everything.
To see if they but something tells me they probably doubled down on it, and that's why there's not Gravity Rush 3.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So, again, I'm kind of there with you. I don't think you necessarily need to touch this game, and I think this is what makes us, Kyle, a little unique. Because if I were to say that every PlayStation exclusive, or you to say, oh, it's a platinum, you need to play it, or this is a silver or a bronze or whatever, or you know, or just a platinum, like that, our opinion becomes very one and the same. It's us saying, I get it. This game's high on a lot of Vita lists, but not high on ours. And I think that's great. It gives us a little character, you know? Because I don't think you need to touch it. I don't think you need to touch this game right now.
No.
And I'm sorry that I maybe suggested people play this over Dark Cloud. Maybe. Awesome, Dave.
We could have been talking about Enslaved Odyssey to the West right now.
I doubt it.
Anyways, before we move on to Hades, how dare you? That's a great game.
Marcus O'Neill's like, we could have been talking about Puppeteer.
Is there a Vita game that you would like to get the remastered treatment on, like, home console? Like, on PlayStation 5 now?
Dude, okay.
I mean, a big obvious one is Persona 4 Golden.
Yeah.
You got it. It's on PC now. I think that would be an excellent choice.
Can I say something that's out of this? And even when this game came out, I think it got sixes and fives.
Oh, I'm ready.
Give me Unit 13.
Oh, okay.
You want to know why Unit 13, Kyle?
Why?
Because I believe the devs that made SOCOM made that game.
Yep,
and if we get a Unit 13, then that means SOCOM would be coming. And I'm going to say something incredibly controversial, but true. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
If Zipper made a SOCOM game for Vita, it would still be alive today.
Ooh, interesting.
If we had a Vita SOCOM game, we'd be playing the Vita 2 or 3 right now.
Oh, okay. All right. I can get down with that.
That was my PSP game. SOCOM, I remember it as my PSP game. Not my PS2 game. My PSP game.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Hey, remember Mag?
Yeah.
What a bad idea. You know what's not a bad idea? Okay. Supergiants, just everything.
Yes.
Supergiants Hades is what we're also going to talk about next. That was our game voted on for August by the community. Hades was released in early access in 2018, and its full release came out last year on September 17th of 2020 for PC and Switch, PS4, 5, and Xbox consoles on August 13th of 2021. So a few weeks ago. Metacritic is at a 92.5 if you take all the scores together.
Yeah.
And it won so many awards in Game of the Year awards, voice acting, narrative, everything. Game special, everybody. Yeah. This is... might be one of my favorite games I've played in a while. I'm kind of mad at myself for not playing this sooner. I'll be completely honest. Like, I was waiting, obviously, for PlayStation because I wanted to play it on my TV. Yeah. I've said it a million times. Not a bad decision. It looks great. Feels phenomenal to play. It's just I wish I was in the fervor with everyone else so we can all just be like, hey, we're doing something cool. We're playing something cool. And that's usually like my MO. I'm always late to the game on things. And but Hades is well worth it no matter when you play it.
Yeah. So my walking into Hades, I'm like you. I want to play this on the TV, not my Switch. I have problems with this game on Switch because the font was too small. I couldn't read anything. And I don't know about you, Kyle, but I actually most of the time play my Switch on silent. Like I don't have any. So for me, I couldn't really hear the voice acting. I couldn't see the text. So I was kind of out of it. I dropped out really fast. I'm so glad I picked this up on PlayStation because I can see font. The voice acting's incredible. This game is special, Kyle.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Let's just start there with the voice acting. Yeah. Some of the best, if not the best voice acting in a game, I think of the last 2 years.
Purely voice acting, no like mocap performance wise. I think
just voice acting.
Yeah, because I want to sleep with Megra real bad, and half of it's to do with her voice, and Thanatos real as bad. Well.
My God, that raspy voice takes me places. Oh, out of body experience.
My goodness, and also like big props to who voices Hades himself. Oh my God,
Liam Cunningham, I think it is.
He rocked the role. Zagreus as well. Every single character that you come across, Kyle, has so much personality coming out of them. Everyone's hot, even the floating head.
Logan Cunningham is
Logan Cunningham. Oh, that's a hot name.
He also does, did not know this. Logan Cunningham is Lord Hades, yeah. Poseidon, Achilles, Asterius, Karen, and the storyteller.
Okay, that guy should have won Best Voice Actor.
Yeah, right?
Wow, because all of those, I'm surprised. Shocked. Yeah. Look at me. Yeah, he kills all those roles. Every Absolutely. Character is oozing personality from, again, their design to their delivery. Everything's so great in this game, man.
And Zagreus's voice, who you play as Zag, the main, also is the voice of Skelly. That's pretty cool.
Hey there, boyo.
Hey there, boyo. What are you doing?
Oh, wait. And then I love every time you beat the Skelly is your little buddy that you beat up on. He's like your target practice for all your weapons.
So you can get a feel for the weapons
and how they work. Every time he finds a new line, he's like, oh, yeah, that one's going to leave a dent in the morning. And a back. It's like.
Honestly, that little thing right there is so impressive. The amount of times I played this game and died and came back, and every character has new dialogue.
Yes.
And is always pushing the story forward, I think is so important and necessary for the roguelike genre.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it is you keep playing, you keep dying, you learn from your mistakes, keep going until you hit a certain point in this castle or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the story will unlock and you'll get some new things. This, no. You die or in the middle of a run when you get a boon, which are the Olympus gods gifting you some of their gifts and abilities. Every single one of those are new. There might be every other run.
Yeah.
They might not show up for that run. But every single time, something new. I have not run into a silent room yet.
Yeah.
A silent anything. Every character has something new to say.
And that's like, there's only been one time. So the story is also somewhat randomly generated as well. So like the cool thing about this game is, so it's a roguelike, like Returnal. We here at the Trophy Room loved Returnal.
Yeah.
And so the whole mission is to get from point A to B to Z and then complete that stage. There's about three or four stages. Ooh, my phone's going off. One sec. This is inappropriate.
Damn you, Jiminy!
If it's not Jiminy, it's my iPhone alarm telling you to do stuff.
It's all good.
Each world is randomly generated. It's all about getting from point A to point B to point Z. And each room you enter is a new room filled with new enemies, or a similar room or same room with different enemies and different you know, areas of like damage, so like traps. And each room offers you a special ability. It could be an upgrade to a sword, or it could be more coin to buy things from Kronos, or I forget his name. Kroon.
Karen.
There. I'm so American. You know, like if I'm in Greece, it's like, hi, where's the mountain of Olympias? No, but like each room you get something different. And the thing that's awesome about roguelites in this game is oftentimes when you clear a room, you have two branching paths. So it's like, okay, one room, if I clear this next room, I can either get an upgrade for Zagreus, or if I choose this room, I get an upgrade to my weapon, all of which is random upgrades. So you're making an imperfect character, and you're giving these choices along the way that is going to define your character. So when you clear a level, Kyle, it always feels like, though I've upgraded myself to defeat that boss, because I may have not gotten that one power up that I really love, I feel like I'm clearing out the boss. I'm getting better along with Zag each and every run. And that's what I'm really
liking. I think to go even along those lines of skipping out on abilities to go get currency.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have the ability to like buy health at certain spots, or buy upgrades, or the is it the shadows? The purple gems, are they called shadows?
They're just called shadow. Yeah.
Which is a great mechanic as well. Shadows you collect. They are one of the few things that you get to keep with you when mm-hmm. you die. And then there's a mirror that Nyx, who is your mother, or until she? Certain things come apart or come about, where you can use the shadow to unlock different skills. And it's not just a set thing. Like you can flip them and use the other side, and they have different status effects or boosts or whatnot. So there's a lot of differences in how my Zagreus is different from Joe's.
Yeah.
And you can have different builds, which I absolutely love. But yeah, the fact that you can, and the whole treasure thing where you can get treasures and then come back and build up some things that unlock new people and new skills and new things. And you can go fishing at some point.
You can.
Like this game has a lot of systems in it, but I've not once felt like I was overwhelmed with the systems, because it all made sense and they all flowed together and they all worked together.
This is a game that onboards you perfectly. This is a game where, again, roguelites, you're meant to die, but sometimes even in Returnal, you're like, ah, shit, and now I'm all the way back here again. Yeah. But when you die in this game, that's when the story keeps opening up for you. And so, you know, maybe you'll die in one run, and then the game will introduce another mechanic of going, hey, now you can do this, so maybe you can get a little bit farther. Or, hey, this is now how the story's rolled out because you've died. And that's the super interesting thing here, is that I don't feel like I'm being punished because I failed. I'm actually getting more story because I failed. And it doesn't technically also feel like a failure. It feels a lot of the time like a learning lesson.
Yeah.
I love this game so much.
And you can pet Cerberus, so it's the best game ever.
Yes. Cerberus is a good boy. The goodest of boys. I thought he was only in Harry Potter, but I was wrong.
Oh, you're very wrong.
Right? Is Cerberus in Harry Potter? He's the three-headed dog?
There's the dog Fluffy.
Okay.
I believe he's a Cerberus in that world. Mm-hmm. Interesting to note, I know you will not pick up on this. Mm-hmm. I think this might be an only Final Fantasy nerd thing like myself. In addition to Awesome Dave, this is for you. The banger after banger of music. This soundtrack is stellar. There is one song, and I forgot which level it's from. Mm-hmm. Every single time I played, there's a little hint of Final Fantasy VIII open world in it.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh man, that's bringing me back. That's really cool. I don't know if that's definitely not on purpose, but there's a little bit there. But yeah, music, incredible. fueling the boss fights and making them feel so much even more bigger than what they are.
Yeah. This game punches above its weight in so many fucking ways, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we talk about combat?
Well, yeah. Well, with combat.
Okay.
First question, Dano writes in, was your favorite weapon and your god power up preference? Like, what did you go with?
Okay. My favorite weapon, and I've been told this is the noob combo.
Oh, I'm sure. I have the same.
And so go straight to heck. I love it, and it gives me a lot of reach. First off, I have to give a shout out. All weapons feel awesome, fun, unique. And what I found with the bow, Kyle, is that I prefer being ranged.
Yeah.
I love being at range. I felt like in the beginning I was doing way better with the bow than I was the sword.
Sure.
And apparently the devs even know, like, the sword is a very, not to say underpowered, but it is kind of the harder weapon to use. But my favorite weapon is the spear.
Yes, same.
Yeah. Why?
Why? It's got, like you said, it's got that reach, so you can stay a little farther behind. My favorite thing to do is, and it might be like a little, a bit of a ding on Hades, okay, a little small little thing. But you mentioned it last night when we were talking about it after we recorded the last episode, where you can pretty much like stand in a corner or stand in one spot and let them come to you. And if they line up perfectly, you can take out a whole row of enemies with the spear.
Yes.
So like that's kind of why I like it, because I love when seeing where they're spawning and see there's a straight line and run around the other side so I can get both of them at the same time. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I found myself not using a lot of the specials.
Oh, like the charge ability or
the triangle. So like with the spear, like you can throw it like a harpoon and call it back. Upgraded, you can throw it with like the Tartar's blood. You can throw it and go with it.
Oh, really? I never chose that one. Now that's awesome.
Yeah. So like I use it sometimes very early on when I wanted to stay far away because I was very underpowered.
Yeah.
I used that a ton. But as I got stronger and more confident in my dodging abilities, which are a huge key element in this one, the spear is the go-to, I feel like.
Yeah. So spear is my go-to as well because of the reach. But I did use – so the one ability that I actually think doesn't even need to be in the game at all is the charge ability. Unless you're using the bow, I don't think you really need it because the point is like fast attacks getting out of the way. And I feel like the charge ability for many of them isn't worth the damage isn't worth the risk. So my favorite thing with the spear is there's an ability that instead of charging up your spear –
yes.
You get the burst, like you throw three spears at once.
And you can hold down the square
and
button
just and hold just it boom, down. Boom, 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 boom. And then it feels like a bullet hell almost.
And then some boons. I think Hermes gives you some boons where it speeds up your attack. So then it's just like nonstop.
Then it's like I got a minigun. It really feels like.
There's even another one that you can add to that with the Daedalus Hammer, where you can even add extra reach on it.
Yeah.
So it's even farther away. Like the depths this game goes to with how you can build everything is incredible.
Yeah, and also like the intricacies. So I actually love the charge weapon. First off, very God of War-esque, right? Throw the spear and then you call it back yourself.
Yeah.
The one thing, and it goes into the one fault I have on this game, then there isn't a lot, is that the haptics aren't great.
No, they're not at all.
They're barely there. That sucks, because I really would love a oomph when I grab that spear. But there's an ability where if you use your special, it does bonus damage on armor, or it poisons them, depending on which one you want to use. And I would like throw the spear, hit the targets I need to, or hit the boss, and then just start using the square button like a madman. Dude, it felt so great. So, like, you can even, once you get to really master the game or understand the language it's teaching you, then you kind of understand of, okay, I may get this ability in the future, and the farther I go, I have more chances of getting it. So I'm going to take this route and I'm going to work my character in this way.
Yeah.
It's really good like that, man.
It goes into what you were talking about earlier, where you might skip out on a boon or some coins because you see that hammer upgrade is in that room and I really want that burst attack.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to roll the dice and hope I get it in this list of three that you get to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a lot of risk when it comes to playing Hades, and I love that kind of risk. Because even with the risk, you're still rewarded in some way. Yeah. There are many times where I'm like, all right, I'm going to pick the boon instead of the coins, even though I could use some health. And then immediately after that boon, there's a room with coins. So it's not like I obviously picked the optimal path there, but I am rewarded for taking that kind of like a risk kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the only other few knocks I have on the combat is, you know, when we were talking to him, like, what do you prefer action wise? And it's something, a conversation we may have. We can have it right now if you want. But yeah. Like Returnal or Hades, the one thing that I have to give Returnal on is it's really great at making you feel uncomfortable in terms of, or vulnerable, not uncomfortable, vulnerable, because you don't get to choose the weapon you have. You want to drop that pistol in Returnal fucking ASAP, right?
Yeah.
In Hades, there's a comfort, and with that comfort comes complacency. So you're like, I know how the spear works really well. I don't want to learn what these other abilities do to my shield because I'm X amount of runs in. So I'm just going to keep using the spear. And because you get comfortable and because you get complacent after a while, the runs, at least for me in my lizard brain, stop becoming special after a while.
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit of that as well. Mm-hmm. I love Returnals because you have to be all in.
Yeah.
You have to be locked in every second of the way of dashing through the incoming projectiles, of active reloading your gun, of keeping track of all these little tiny things. Hades, there was a little bit of autopilot where, like, I know what I'm doing. I'm going through the motions. I'm so used to the spear. I'm sure even after I beat Hades or cleared my first run, I went back and started on the bow. Mm-hmm. And after two runs, I'm like, okay, I'm in the rhythm of the bow. I don't really have to worry too much about these enemies or how to do like these or how to avoid the incoming attacks, right? Because like it's so ingrained already. But maybe it's different if we use the gun in Hades,
yeah,
because that does have like a little reload thing that you have to keep track of.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just something I like of the chaotic and quickness of Returnal, where even in like Hades, there are many times where I like broke the enemy's animations or stunned them, and they would stand still and just melt away the bar. And I'm like, okay, not too challenging.
Yeah, sometimes in Hades with the combat, when it comes to like, you could stun lock an opponent real easily, and then you could kind of learn the cheese method of how to do something. And when you find a cheat, or what feels like a cheat, this is why I love From Software games so much. When you find a way to cheese something, that's all you're going to do, because you know that the option's there, and that's temptation, baby.
Absolutely.
So it's a reason why I like From games, because there are no cheats. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. There isn't the easy cheese solution to things.
Yeah.
Or they don't oftentimes give you the easy cheese. With Hades, it sometimes feels like that as well, which I got to give props to Returnal because, Returnal's like, no. You have to learn the game mechanics to this point where when you discover things like invincibility frames, you're really getting into the minutiae of that game to find out how to actually maneuver and fight. So.
And like you said, when you die in Returnal, you go back and you have to use a weapon you don't want.
Yeah.
And you hope a weapon that you like comes out, not Hades, you pick what you want from the beginning.
Yeah.
I do want to give a special shout out to the fists. I really do enjoy using the fists. They're like big, giant, spiky boxing gloves, it looks like.
Those are my second favorite, for sure.
With a really cool uppercut move, which you can, I think, in turn do like a flying kick if you upgrade it through the hammer that-wise. Shield as well. I dig the shield when I beat Hades the first time with it. When I beat Meg the first time with it, I dug that one as well.
Yeah.
As far as the gods go, I have one specific one that I hope to have every single time.
What's that? Who?
It's Dionysus.
Dionysus,
the,
really?
The god of wine.
Huh.
The reason why I think his buff, his status effect is so overpowered.
Okay.
It's it's hangover.
Yeah.
So if you can, you hit an enemy with it, they become hungover and does like 20 damage every half second.
Mm.
So if you are, if you get either by dashing, you leave little giant pools of it, or on attack, if you can level that up, you're doing like hundreds of damage in 3 seconds.
More dots.
It's really, really fantastic. I love his stuff. The combo of another question was from Marcus O'Neill.
Yeah.
Do you have any particular memorable builds? And yeah, I had a Dionysus and an Ares build.
Yes.
Where it was just strong attacks hung over with the little Zeus lightning when I dashed.
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh, that was the one where I died with a sliver of health left to Hades on the final boss level.
Are we
like,
in the Food Network? Because you made a perfect dish right there, Kyle.
Mwah. That was fantastic. Kiss. What's your favorite god boons to go after?
There are three gods in particular. First off, there's only one god, ma'am, and he doesn't dress like that. I love Athena.
Yeah.
Athena's great because she's all about invincibility frames, or like gaining invisibility.
Yeah, deflecting.
And deflecting as well. So like there was one, Kyle, there was one where I forget what it is. I think it's like every strong attack you gain an invincibility frame or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So, something really broken. And so like the third boss, which is just a chore, I actually loathe that boss fight. I don't think it's a good boss fight.
Oh, the combo?
Yeah, where it's a Minotaur and
same
the douchebag.
Yeah, Theseus.
Theseus is just a D-bag, dude. He's like, this is where we stand. First off, props to him. He's like, this is where we stand our ground, good sir. You're going down. Like, every time, it's just like, no, dude. It's not how this works. But I would have the deflection almost constantly. I think it's even when I dodged. And so every time he threw the spear at me, I just chuck the spear right back at him, or I would dodge into the Minotaur constantly so that he kept on deflecting his own shots at him, and I killed the Minotaur in like not even 30 seconds.
So I don't know if you've run into this with that boss in the Elysium Fields is where you fight them.
Yeah.
Have you run into the Minotaur before the final battle?
Oh, so I've met him.
Yes.
Before the battle, he kicked my ass, and I met him 3 times before the combo. Ah. So I thought he was the third boss. And I was just like, on the fourth try, I was like, all right, this son of a bitch, I think I got it. I think I've learned how this guy operates. And then I didn't see him in that room. I was like, what? And then I entered the next room, and it's like a prep for the boss fight. I was like, oh, okay, so he'll be here. And then I saw it was two, like him and Theseus. I was like, son of a bitch. What? You're going to throw this oddball at me?
I only saw the combo. That's all I saw for like 3 tries.
Yeah.
I did not see him early on. So then there was one where I walked in. And it was just him in whatever room it was.
And you thought, I was like, this is going to be easy for me.
Is this a variation of just the final boss? I mean, I kicked his ass. He didn't kick my ass.
Okay, good, good, good.
But I love the fact that when he runs away and you fight him in that final battle, it still meant something because he is not at full health.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are some of the – I mean, every god has excellent effects to it. Minus one. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. One I did not dig a whole lot. Oh, Hermes.
Really?
Hermes, I mean, besides like an additional dash here and there.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, he kind of sucked.
And then the final one that comes very late, Demeter,
yeah,
the cold lady.
Yeah, I don't like her. She's the only not sexy one in that whole group. It's her attitude. She comes across very pompous.
Yeah, she's Hades' foster brother. So,
yeah.
And well, hold on a second. Oh. I'm reading the relations.
Please.
Demeter
yeah.
is Persephone's daughter.
Oh.
So Zagreus's sister? No, this is Zagreus's grandson. What?
So, you know, Greek gods.
It's Greek stuff, you know?
So, those are my, Athena would be my first favorite because I love the deflect. Then it's Ares, not just because he's hot, but also because he's hot. Jesus Christ, that guy. And then, because I love his ultimate where you just become a whirlwind of death.
Which is great. Yeah.
And then it would be the god of wine.
Dionysus.
Yeah. If I get that wombo combo, it's all uphill. The one thing I do want to shout out before we move on to is there are rooms where you have two god symbols, and it's a trick. Never go to those rooms.
Oh, always go to those rooms.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because once you beat one god, you get the other one too.
Yeah, but that kicks the shit out of me. So, you clear the room, you choose which god you want to pick, right? And then the other god will get jealous and just spawn a wave again for you to fight. But then they'll also attack you. Yeah. And then like when you clear, it's like, oh, we were just joshing. I'm not going to stay mad at you.
So that happened to me, not with one of the gods, but Charon or Charon, however you say that name.
No, you said it right the first time.
Charon,
yeah.
In the last run I did, there was like a bag of gold or bag of coins on the ground behind him. And I walk over, I just pick it up because I'm like, okay, there's no price on it. I'm just going to pick it up. And Charon turns and he just gets very angry with me. Mm. And then he transports me to another dimension and I have to fight him, Joe.
What?
That is a boss fight with him if you steal his money.
Really? And
he is tough. I lost very quickly.
Wow. I gotta do it.
Apparently that's for a trophy. You can earn his loyalty card, which gives you 20% off of all purchases in that run.
Real okay, now I gotta do that. Now I gotta do that. Now I'm going back.
So that's the thing about this game. The one more run is Hades. Hmm. Immediately after dying, you're like, okay, I'm going again.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm so close. It's so good. I want to shout out Aphrodite's call because her call is very helpful. It's a base of 2,500 damage, and it charms the enemy for like 6 seconds.
Oh.
So that is a good one to have. That is also like, think Kratos in Rage Meter in God of War, in the old school ones, where you're getting hurt or attacking, it will build up, and then you get to unleash like this ultimate powerful move. Marcus O'Neill has another question.
Okay.
How many runs did it take you for your first escape?
Ooh, good question.
For me, it was 27.
I want to say I'm in the 20s as well.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think first met Hades at like run 17.
That's a really good question. I want to turn on my PS5 because I have it captured, but at the same exact time, my remote's on my bed. I don't feel like going over there.
I got you. His other question, I don't know if you mess with this. I messed with it once I beat it the first time. Did you use God mode?
After a while, because I started getting bored and I wanted to get the quote-unquote true ending. And this is the thing about this game. There are only four bosses in this game. Now that you talked about Charon, technically five, maybe, right?
Yeah.
The problem here is there are different variations. So Megra has her sisters that you fight, but they also have, for the most part, the same beats as Megra. Just little differences here or there. Same with the snake fight. I didn't think...
The Hydra.
I didn't think the Hydra was... I beat the Hydra on the second try.
It took me a little bit.
And so
I kept standing in the lava, and it was hurting me. I was like, what's going on?
What's going on here? This is hot. Why do I smell burning? Elysium could get fucked. That whole level is hell on earth sometimes.
Yeah.
But like that boss fight is a chore, and that boss fight does, at least from what I've gone through, doesn't change at all. And that kind of sucks. Other than like the Minotaur... You know, being a little less health if you already fought him before.
Question about that boss fight.
Yeah.
The first time you got to a point where Theseus is back against the wall and he calls in aid to the gods.
Yeah.
How betrayed did you feel? Because I felt so betrayed.
Stabbed in my back. And even like, even Zach's like,
how dare you?
Yo, bro, what the
Yeah, right?
What the heck?
So what, if you haven't gotten to that part yet, Theseus, when you get to a certain point of his health bar, he will call in a random god to help in the battle and drop like area of effect damage all over the field of like Zeus and Ares and Aphrodite and Athena and stuff. Like, how dare you, gods? That also just like, it's kind of genius.
Yeah.
Because nobody cares. That's how Greek gods were.
Yeah.
Or supposedly were, if they were totally real.
Yeah, sure.
Like, like they,
wait,
they don't
what are you
care.
Trying to say?
They only care about themselves.
You're saying it's the Greek gods aren't real?
Anyways, God mode's cool. I appreciate God mode. God mode, what it does is you flick it on in the main menu, and it does 20% damage reduction, but every time you die, it goes up. I think up to 80%, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I believe so.
So I really do appreciate that, because that is something I will just keep on, because I beat it once already without it on. So I'm just going to keep it on and kind of do every weapon. And because I don't think there's any...
There's no punishment if you do
punishment if you use that, right?
Yeah, and that's the way I felt as well. After a while, I was just like... So I got, I think, 2 or 3 runs without God mode. And then I was just like, all right, I feel like I'm going to get put on God mode. Mm-hmm. And so I could just clear this faster. And that's the thing. I stopped appreciating the game after a while.
Sure.
It burnt me out way too fast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lower that to 5 runs and I beat the game for realsies. Because 10 runs feels a little excessive.
Yeah. Another really small thing that just popped in my head that I do want to shout out because I love it so much. You mentioned the boss fights, how there's only like 4 really.
Yeah.
But there's like 5 areas where you fight. There's the Hades area. There's the Satyr ruins with Cerberus, and you have the other ones. I love that when you give Cerberus, because of course Cerberus is your pup.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to fight you. No. You give him the goodies, and it still says Cerberus defeated, but not really. He's totally okay. Like in parentheses underneath.
Yeah, Cerberus defeated, but not really. He's okay. He's a good boy.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's a good boy.
That's the level where I knew they ran out of budget.
Oh, because they're, yeah.
Super short. Super short and easy to cheese. That level is get in, get out. Big shout out to the Hades boss fight, though. Holy shit. So good.
So good.
So metal. He's obviously my favorite boss fight because he'll turn invisible and try to slash you. He does this really large cleave that you have to learn.
Drops bombs with a countdown on it that you have to take care of.
Then he's just like, you know what? I'm going to shoot Iron Man beams out of my chest or out of my spears.
And then you're trying to find him. Because spoilers, you beat him once, and he's like, nope.
And that's the thing. It's like, I remember, I was in a group chat with our mutual friend, Ains. And I was like, yes, I beat him. He's like, oh, good job, man. I was like, oh, no, there's phase 2. You did this to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like that, those boss fights are really great. It's just once you learn the mechanics after a while, it's like, okay, I've been here before.
Yeah. And I think how it handles... The story as well is really fantastic too, because once you do beat Hades, and the whole point really is you're going to go find your real mother.
Yeah,
that's why you want to get out. And you, spoiler alert, you meet her, and then like everything from Hades, you got to go back. And it, the story just doesn't end there. I could very clearly see like every other game. That's the end. It's whatever. It's done. Yeah. But they work in the roguelike whole mechanic into the story where Zag shows up and Hades goes, what are you talking about? Get back to work. Because he doesn't want to acknowledge it at all. But everyone else is like, hey, you did it. Nice job. Yeah,
they're like, oh, shit.
You going to stop? And he's like, no, I got to keep going.
Yeah, I got to keep going. I got to keep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The end game mechanic is really cool. The only problem is, as a story department, it's giving you so much. And then when you technically beat the game on the first run, it's like, actually, there was a little bit more here. And now the story kind of just stops and it's drip fed rather than the faucet that was turned on for the first 5 hours. And so that's what it felt like to me. I was like, ah, okay.
Yeah.
And it was, and that's how good the story is. I want to keep playing it because I want to get the quote unquote true ending. But at this point, I'm like, I'm 5 wins in and I'm like, but now I'm kind of just bored.
I do want to attempt the platinum.
The platinum I gave up on because it is way too much grind.
It's a lot of running, a lot of runs, yeah. A lot of with the keepsakes, leveling them all up, and
a lot of luck and RNG behind it, which annoys me because there is one trophy that I'm actually a little upset about, which is defeat. Go into one of those two god rooms and defeat a god with their own
his abilities. Own power.
Yeah,
yeah. And I was lucky enough and was able to get that.
Oh my god, that was so bullshit to me. I was like, really? Okay. Mm. Yeah. So I'm not a fan of that. Not a fan of that.
But if we were to give Hades, like okay. We do on every Road to Greatness game here, a trophy level bronze.
Whoa, silver, gold, before we get in there.
Yeah.
Okay, because everybody says everybody's hot in this game. It's true.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
It's true, man. Oof. Who are we? Who? All right, F, Mary, kill. All right.
Uh-huh.
Who are your top three bays of Hades?
Top three?
Top three bays.
I mean, Meg.
Meg, okay.
Meg is one.
What about her mummified sister?
The one that just says murder.
Murder.
Also, really dope boss fight when they're all together.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, they all fight you at one time. That's really
cool. That's intense, yes.
That's a really cool one. Probably then. Oh my god, I'm blanking. Artemis.
Oh, I like Artemis. Yeah, Artemis is a cutie.
And I like Eurydice, the muse in Asphodel, tree lady.
Yes, and she, her husband,
her musician is Orpheus.
Orpheus, yeah.
Who is just doesn't want to play music anymore.
Yeah, because they lost their love, and yeah, oh yeah, she. Okay, so you picked tree lady.
Tree ladies, yes.
For me, my three bays are. Absolutely Meg. Holy shit, Meg. Yep. And I unlocked... The cool thing is, like, you give these gods nectar, and it gives you backstory to them, and there's, mm-hmm. like, a romantic connection between Megra and Zag. And it's mm-hmm. a really, like, interesting one as well. It's diving deep, because you've hurt her in a way by making her do all this, which is awesome. Well, not awesome, but it's great... narrative.
It's a cool little story moment.
Yeah, so mine's absolutely Megra. Oh my goodness. Nyx. Oh my god. Nyx is a tall drink of water. Uh-huh. Like, if you're like, hey Joe, what does your ideal goth chick look like? It's Nyx. Oh my god.
She gave me Lulu vibes from Final Fantasy X.
Oh, marry me. And then I gotta give big props to Thanatos.
Dude, I knew you were going to pick it.
The cum gutters on this guy is ridiculous. I was like, oh my God. I was just like, I was taken back.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's where we get into the after show. What was the scale I called? The Kinsey scale comes into effect. I was just like, I'm entering a whole new world, a brave new world for me. And I'm diving in to hopefully Thanatos' arms. So if I got to marry one, I got to marry Nyx.
Okay.
If I got to kill one, because I've already done it, it's Megra. If we're just going for a one-night stand, it's Thanatos. Or is Thanatos too quick? He's going to get depressing.
I don't know, man.
He's all about, like, death and stuff. He's like the Grim Reaper.
Yes.
And, like, he kills things super fast, so is he going to last?
I don't know.
I don't see a future with him, emotionally.
I don't know. I think I would have to. Oh boy, this is tough. I think marrying Eurydice.
Yeah, she sings beautifully.
Beautiful voice, and she's also cooking you great things.
Yeah.
I think I would have to. I mean, F Meg, and then I'd have to. I'd have to kill Artemis.
Ah, poor Artemis.
Poor Artemis. I mean, you're dope and all, yeah. But like. You're a god, and gods have lots of issues. I don't know.
And you're kind of antisocial as it is.
Yeah, so like,
Who knows? The chemistry's just not there.
No, it's not there. It's not there. So now, Joe, okay. That we got the hotness out of the way,
yeah.
Where would you rate this on the trophy scale?
Oh my god. First off, shout out to the meme that I saw. It's like beginning of Hades. Oh wow, this is really cool. Greek mythology. And then the second part of Hades. Oh my god, I think I'm bisexual now. Oh god, story of my life there, Hades. So for me, where am I rating it? Where am I rating Hades? This is a platinum. This is a game. Yeah. I don't think you can platinum. I'm not challenging you to it. I'm just saying I wouldn't suggest, like, if you absolutely love this game, go ahead, platinum it. But if you're like, I'm a trophy hunter and I think I could do this, this takes at least 100 hours. So understand the commitment. But for $25, this is the first game, Kyle, I got the hype. When people are like, for a year, this is game of the year, this is game of the year, this is game of the year. Trust me. And I'm like, but like, Last of Us 2 was so good, Ghost of Tsushima was. And I'm not saying that this game, if launched last year, would have beat those two for me. But I can understand why people have that love for it.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah. This game's a platinum for sure.
It went from a... Because it's no secret how much I adore Last of Us Part 2. It went from, like, during award season, like, wow, really? Over Last of Us?
Yeah.
To now understanding why and getting why it won so many awards. Yeah, this is an easy platinum. I mean, as far as our scale goes, it's not easy platinum to get.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's fantastic. It is a must play by anybody, no matter what platform. You have to play
it. What a road trip of an episode this was, Kyle.
Yeah.
We had a game that we absolutely did not like, which was Gravity Rush. Sorry. Uh-huh. And then a game we absolutely love, which is Hades.
Yeah. Wild.
What a yin and yang
episode. Wild. Excuse me. That's it for our combo episode.
Yeah.
That we've owe you all, patrons. Thank you so much for supporting us. We love you very, very much. The next Road to Greatness episode will be Deathloop.
Whoop, whoop.
Which is coming in a week. Oh my god.
Is it in a week?
September 7th, dude. It's close.
No. Deathloop is September 14th.
No, it's not. I thought it was the 7th.
I'm telling you, it's the 14th.
Do I have my... No, you are 100% right. What game is out on the 7th?
I think you're thinking Life is Strange, which is on the 10th. Or Fist.
It might be Fist.
Yeah. There's a lot of games coming out in September. A lot of PlayStation games.
But anyway, we're very close to Deathloop, so that episode will be coming out soon. Kena will be our October game.
And then I think November, we could get people out there voting again.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm just trying to think because I don't think Fist is the one. I want to make sure. You know what? It was Sonic Colors. You know what? I completely...
Yeah. Shout out to Sonic Colors.
Shout out.
The only decent Sonic modern day.
We love you very much. Yes. Stay safe. Buckle in. And we'll catch you on the next exit on this road trip called life. I forgot the ending. Hey, be awesome. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.